This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Jeremy White.
You don't necessarily need irons to play golf. I'm just going to hit driver and bump three woods in the fairway and then putt.
And Joe DiBiase.
Anyone, I've got a buddy who hits a golf ball like 300 yards, but it goes everywhere.
Well, of course I know him. He's me.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Everybody, good morning. Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Joe? What's up, guys? Josh, Owen, happy football season.
How we
season.
Doing?
Good.
Football season.
Good. I am broadcasting from home today for the first time in a while. Long time, I think, right?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, a couple times here and there during the off season, but not much. Yeah.
And this capability. There, you know, it's funny, like the number of times post-COVID that people will ask me, are you going in these days? I'm like, yeah. Yes, definitely going in, have been since, you know, whatever. We were all split for whatever, like a year when Howard was still here. But yes, going in all the time, seeing your beautiful faces, collecting $5 every couple days. You know how it goes.
Yeah. Is that a tee up for people to tell you that they don't go back into the office typically? Is that usually, is that what that ends up being?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Maybe. That's a good question. I never thought about it that way.
Because a lot of people ended up never really going back in.
Yeah, some fields, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, happy football season. You know what I woke up thinking? Will the Bills play in this game next year?
Hope so, and I hope it's for I hope they're the home team, of course, more than anything.
Well, that's what I was going to actually have a little fun with.
Yeah.
Is – would you bet them to play in this game? They're away opponents next year.
Okay.
All right. So either away the Bills win the Super Bowl or it is the someone in the division. We don't think so. Denver.
No. Probably
Green
not.
Bay.
Maybe.
Minnesota.
No.
The AFC South winner.
No.
Or the NFC West winner. So that's like Niners
or Packers?
Rams, Packers, Broncos.
Yeah, those are even Denver is like, yeah, no, okay, Denver. I mean, if I'm picking them to win the division, I think I have to be open to them going on a little bit of a run. So, okay, Green Bay feels the most likely in that group.
Yeah.
And that could be they've played an NFC team to open a season after they won the Super Bowl, right?
For sure. Here's one way to look at that. Would you take the Bills or that field to win the Super Bowl? Bills, one side gets Bills. We can make a $5 bet here. I don't know who would want to bet it, though. One side gets Bills. The other side gets their entire away field for 2026.
I would probably – I mean, the Packers are pretty close, I think, to what the odds should be for the Bills to win it. Just given that they don't I think their conference is easier, and now that they have Parsons, I'm a big Jordan Love guy, so I definitely think the Bills have better odds and should have better odds, but I'm getting that team, and then I'm getting a bunch of other pretty good teams. Like
Bronco, I feel like it's three teams on that side. Broncos,
yeah.
Packers, and the four teams, Niners/Rams, which I guess is the Niners there probably.
I could get to, I think that side is more likely. Yeah.
All right, $5?
Than the Bills. I don't want to bet that, though.
Fair enough, fair enough.
I'm going to bet $5 against the Bills to win the Super Bowl. But yeah, just it's a lot about Green Bay for me more than anything on that side.
Their road is tougher. You know, it feels like now that we're at the season, we're talking about this whole one seed conversation a lot more and how important it is for the Bills. I saw Warren Sharp tweet yesterday about the Bills that it has to. Or no, I'm sorry, Scott Pianowski. It was Scott Pianowski that tweeted this about the Bills and said basically like, if not now, when? Mm-hmm. And I guess we would have to start the conversation about how different it really would be if they got the one seed and what it would mean if even that didn't work to get the job done, right? Even that didn't get them to the Super Bowl, because there have been years where we've definitely talked about how important that is. It's just the schedule this time around really sets it up. Really looks like if you are going to do it, this looks like your year to do it. Your schedule. Baltimore has a tougher road. Kansas City has a tougher road. Cincinnati, whoever else you want to include in the AFC, they're all tougher roads than what the Bills have to get to the best record. So, you know, the quest begins, I guess, tomorrow with Chiefs Chargers. Whoever starts 1-0, you know, you're chasing them.
Yep.
But I just wonder how much we would change about everything. Pressure. You said, you know, you're not at the point where winning a Super Bowl would be a relief yet, but you will get there eventually.
Yes.
If a one seed happens and it doesn't turn into the Super Bowl, well, you would enter the list of trash pile teams like the Titans and the Ravens in the last couple of years that have done the same thing.
You also would check off, you'd have every box now checked off of, well, I haven't done this yet. Like, before, it was, you know, haven't lost a playoff game at home. And it's just get it home and let's go on a run. And then you lost to the Bengals. And it's like, okay, I guess I can't be perfect at home in the playoffs. Then it was, well, the Chiefs haven't come here. And then the Chiefs did come here. And you lost that way. So, okay, I've lost both of those ways. Then I went back on the road and lost. And the one thing they still haven't had or done, and I think this is the most valuable of all of those, because it's more about strength of opponent for me than anything, is you haven't had that one seed. And if they were to get the one seed and then still not make it, that would be everything, right? Like, they would have had every different opportunity and not found a way to get through. I guess maybe the one thing is you haven't had a path that doesn't include Kansas City, but I don't know how often
you can't control that.
You can't control that. You might never get that. Yeah. So the one seed, though, is the thing. And I still think that's where it's really set up for them. The schedule, the division is getting that, getting the free playoff win, getting a Steelers or a Jaguars or some AFC South team in the second round so that I don't have to play two of the top two teams in the conference.
Have you really ever sat and thought the answer to this is an obvious yes, because 13 seconds, that's how close they were to hosting the AFC Championship game. But,
yeah,
you know, the final season of Highmark is going to be romantic for a lot of people. And if you lay out this scenario, it's very romantic. But hosting the AFC Championship game in any season is incredible.
Yeah.
And you have a generation of fans here, of course, that haven't done it. I started really thinking about what it would be like to be in the stadium, in my seat, regardless of opponent. I know, like, the Chiefs, that's a storyline. I don't care if it's the Jaguars or the Texans. You know, a team you think you're going to beat or you think is a tough matchup. The idea of actually sitting there and thinking, I'm watching them play a game, and if they win it, they go to the Super Bowl. I sat with that idea yesterday. Maybe you guys do that all the time. Maybe you never allow yourself to do that. But I really sat with that. Like, what would we do? What would it look like?
The game ends. The goal, we... the, the goalposts coming down, I mean, there was ever a more likely time for that to happen again, it would probably be the final game.
Would we spend the night in the parking lot?
Sure.
Would people leave?
No.
That's a real question.
Tailgate round two?
Why? Is it six? Wait, this year's at 3 p.m. or 6 p.m.? I should look that up.
The AFC change. Here we go. The morning of the schedule the season starting. We're going to look up the time of the AFC championship.
I think it's early this year. It was late last year, right?
Is that how they do it? They just go back and forth?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And last year, they played the late game. We knew if they won, they would play the Eagles. The Eagles won earlier in the day. It was kind of a, not that competitive of a game. It was okay.
Yeah, the AFC championship will be at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, all right. Game ends, and we all just stay there.
We all stay there, and how? Oh, this would be cool. Would they put the NFC championship up on the scoreboard?
That's a good question.
Hey, hang out in the stadium. No one's leaving. We're going to have a good time, and we're going to watch the game to decide who we play.
Yeah. I feel like calling that on the fly, there are a lot of employees that would be thinking, like, I'd like to go home now.
Yeah. That's probably right.
Or maybe not. Maybe they don't care, and they think, hey, we're going to the Super Bowl. Everything's
right.
Gravy at this point.
Right.
803-0550 is our phone number. Bills and Ravens. The injury news is not good. It's not really good for either team, right?
Correct. Alexander for the Ravens is the best news maybe that either team had. Because Benford is great news. I just would have thought Benford was on track to play. So I guess that's not that surprising. Whereas Jaire Alexander playing this Sunday, to me, would be pretty surprising. He had not practiced in over a month. And I don't think the optimism sounded very good, and it's only one limited practice. It doesn't mean he has to play, but no Likely, no Ricard. I think that just could be totally different to how the Ravens line up and who plays for the. Is that a Taron Johnson game now suddenly so because they don't have the fullback or the other tight end? For the Bills, it's just I have no idea who's going to be playing a corner opposite of Benford.
There are numbers about their efficiency when they don't have Likely or they don't have Ricard on the field, like their formations and what they do. So if you're someone that's out here very, very afraid of Derrick Henry,
yeah,
he lost a couple of pretty big pieces in there, Patrick Ricard and Isaiah Likely.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's when they line up to play big boy football, I mean, those are the two guys that are almost always on the field, and they don't have them. So on the other hand, it does kind of lead into what the Ravens might want to attack on the Bills on Sunday is if there's a Jamarcus Ingram out there on the field or a Dorian Strong out there on the field, that they're probably going to want to go more attacking at that player. They're going to want to use Henry. But if I were them, I would see a six-round rookie out there and go, let's just get Zay Flowers over there against him. Or even if it's Hopkins. Just pro receiver that's been doing it. Like, he's just going to have that kid in a pretzel for the entire game. So I think that could be a negative, even if, Ricard and Likely aren't out there.
For sure. The good news is they might have thought the same thing if they saw Trey White over there, even though he's not a rookie.
Maybe.
You never know. They might respect him for what he did for them last year, but no, all right, we're going to win this matchup all day. Are people confident? Are people nervous? Or are people just excited to have the game back?
I think have
football back.
Combination of the last two.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how confident. I think it's more nervousness about maybe expecting that this one could not go great. Continuation of the playoff game. Without the mistakes.
Right. Which might have been, if there's one more quarter in that game, Baltimore might have the time to, get it done.
Yes. Like
Their own mistakes. They shot themselves in the foot, and you played mistake-free football. Can the Bills continue to do that all year long? One thing about this game, in terms of how it will frame the season, this Bills-Baltimore opener. Well, if let's say they lose 35-10, the exact score of last year. That's the only reason I picked that.
Okay.
We could immediately lean back on, all right, 35-10 last year, and then they beat them in the playoffs, so who cares?
Yep.
This game doesn't matter. The thing it actually would do, though, is it would kind of create a bar. You set a bar for it. If they, I'll say all week, and I've said all week, if they win this game, I'll be really impressed because I think Baltimore is a great team. Every bit as good as the Bills, and maybe right now better because of the Bills have some significant injuries, and the Bills have young players that will need to play really big roles. I don't know what T.J. Sanders and Deion Walker are going to provide yet. I don't know how Cole Bishop's going to look in the secondary, and maybe Baltimore doesn't know how Malachi Starks is going to look back there either. But I've got questions on the Bills, and this first game will kind of set a baseline for that, right? How does everybody look? All right, they lost. And then in 5 weeks, in 7 weeks, in 10 weeks, are we looking at a defense that has really found its game? And it might take that many weeks to find out, Joe, because maybe we don't get full confidence in what the defense is until they play Cincinnati or until they play Kansas City or until right. they play one of these better teams, right? After Baltimore, it's the Jets. The Saints are in there. Sure, there's a Miami game, which might be a decent test, but I do feel like this season is a little bit about watching their new-look defense come together through injuries, through young players, and, of course, through the addition of two free agents they'll add after week seven. So I get a baseline, not to make a concussion testing comparison, but, you know, your baseline test and then how you respond afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, this is your baseline test. It's week one. It's your zero. And where you go from here is really ultimately the story of the season more than this game itself is.
The thing, though, about their defense that gets criticized more than anything, isn't it what they do when they get to the playoffs?
Right.
And that, how much of an answer can you give to that during these regular season games when they've had great defenses? That last year I would not consider one of them, but they've had great defenses in the regular season that show up in the playoffs and don't get the job done to the same degree. So there's always going to be that, yeah, but with their defense, even if it looks good throughout the entire year, I still think there's going to be that, yeah, but about them. So it will be interesting. It should be valuable to see what they look like because you'd want to believe they've learned lessons along the way about how they play defense in those playoff games. And like that playoff game last year, they tried to do it differently. They tried to throw in more man coverage. And I mean, think about that Ravens mistake that Jackson makes where he puts the ball on the ground. That's a safety blitz around the corner they had been setting up. And what's their reputation been more about on defense in the playoffs? It's you just kind of hang back there and everybody knows what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. And you just line up and play. And that was, I set that up and I threw an extra wrinkle in and it worked. And then with Kansas City, they tried that. It just wasn't. They didn't have the personnel for it. So, you know, I'll want to take some stock in what they do in the regular season defensively. But you're going to hear a lot of, yeah, but they do this a lot where they're really good at defense in the regular season and then don't have that come to fruition in the playoffs. The one thing that could be different about that, though, might be Bosa. Because that's one individual, like that's one job, pass rusher that they've been searching for. And if he's performing throughout the year and looking really good, that's going to feel like something you can count on when mm-hmm. you get to one of those big games in January. Is that guy's just going to be a hellraiser that I haven't had in one of those games. Vaughn was on his way to doing it and then got injured. So that would be the one difference. Like I don't know what you could say about Bosa that would say, oh, he's not going to do it when you get to the postseason if he's out there with like 12 sacks in December.
803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. Describe your feelings in a word or two. You know, give us a thought and jump on an open phone line at 803-0550. Tonight it's Eagles and Cowboys, and we see the Micah Parsons-less Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
We see the tush push again.
Yes, the tush push.
Welcome back to the
tush push. For at least one more year.
Right. You know, whatever, the tush push. I think the tush push stinks. I've thought it stinks the whole time. I think it stinks that people celebrate it. I think it stinks that people say, oh, if just one team does it, I guess that's how good they are, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. I think it stinks. I think everybody. I think about it stinks. I think it stinks when the Bills do it, even though they're good at it.
They are.
It works. It mostly. We have some sensitive memories on that. But
yeah,
whatever.
Will the Bills go to the right on a QB sneak this year? Because that was the thing, right? They went left every single time last year.
That's what Allen wants, right? That's his back foot. That's playing his back foot.
Well, I mean, someone's got to. But at this point, someone's got to tell him, like, all right, like, I know it's the side you like to go to, but now everybody knows it. So what are we going to do here? What are we going to do here? Are you going to learn?
Wouldn't they know that? The week before the AFC Championship game, everybody knew the Bills were going to go to the right.
Uh huh.
Well, the left.
The left, right, yeah.
His left, defense is right.
Defense is right.
Yeah, the week before that, everybody knew. The week before that, everybody knew. Haven't they gone to the right?
That's why they got stopped, right?
Is it why they got stopped? Because, again, like the multiple weeks before and months before, everybody knew where they wanted to go, and they did not get stopped. I don't know why they got stopped. I don't have an answer for you.
But again, they've got – I went through this a couple weeks ago. They've got stopped on QB sneaks in a lot of big moments.
High-profile moments,
In games over the years. So, you're right. Maybe that's not the reason, but I think the Chiefs talked about it, didn't they? They talked about after that game. Like, yeah, we knew exactly where he was going to go every single time, and we were ready for it. So, yeah, maybe I should assume everybody does know that, but I don't know. Like, just – does every goalie study every player in a shootout, or is there like...
Yes.
Do every goalie does?
Yeah.
Okay.
Owen?
Every player in the team?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
I used to have a scouting report on every guy's tendencies, top three moves if we had them. That was how we did it.
Then I would assume every NFL team should probably also know
I would certainly imagine that NFL teams have that sort of... information and data, and we'll go right to it.
It would be different though if they knew what was happening, but they didn't know like the trick to stop it. And Kansas City just showed everybody what the trick to stop it is.
I mean, what are the chances of that?
They stopped it three times.
All of a sudden, the Bills are not the Chiefs showed a trick
on Allen's sneak.
And it's over. They can. That's
not
why.
Over. Just mix in. go to the other side.
No, I know.
Go turns over the top.
McDermott spent this entire offseason wanting to ban it because the Chiefs stopped it and figured theirs out. He's like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, the thing was always interesting. I thought they got misconstrued about McDermott with that. Is he talked about the injury risk of it, and everybody was. Well, you use it for Allen, but the exact wording I remember McDermott using was, I don't want to do what it would take to stop it. It almost sounded like, I know what I would have to do on defense to stop it, but I don't want to do it because it's going to get my guys injured. Yeah. And I wonder if he has the same idea that I do, where you push one of your linebackers in like he's the quarterback.
803-0550-1888.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
550, 2550. Have you seen the spread in this game recently?
For tonight or for the Bills?
Well, no, sorry, for Bills-Ravens.
I saw there was movement to the Ravens side.
Yes.
Then the Ravens are now favored.
I'm double-checking right now because we have in the chat, James wrote in, Vegas already says we're the best team in the AFC. Expectation should be to show Baltimore exactly that. No excuses. I'm double-check. I saw last night at least one book had them as underdogs in the game.
Yeah, they at the moment are +1.5. They opened, I think, at -2, and that opened like a month ago, but now it's moved.
So take that for what it's worth. You think Vegas expects the Bills to be better and show them who they are? They're underdogs in this game.
Well, who's Vegas in this context? The sports books think the Bills should have been favored because they said it, and I think people have been betting the Ravens, and that's what moved it. So bettors are moving it.
Sure, and Vegas moves the line. I mean, that's always how it works. That's how it works for futures bets, too.
Right.
Like, you're trying to get money. So if we're saying Vegas thinks they're the AFC champions, Vegas also thinks right now they are underdogs.
Sure, right. But they're only doing that because all the bettors are basically saying, you're wrong, the Ravens are better, and that's why we're forcing you to move it.
Okay, well, but all I'm saying is that's the same as if they're +700. That's because there's enough money on them. They don't want to have more of a liability and make them like +2200 or something like that.
All right.
I don't know.
My brain hurts.
I kind of pretend to know how Vegas works. It's, you know, something I do at 6 a.m. sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, 803-0550. Larry in South Florida, quickly before the break. Hey, Larry, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. One thing, like, my feeling is either Baltimore, I'm flying down Sunday morning, or flying up Sunday morning so I can catch a game and then flying back Monday. But my feeling is either Baltimore is really going to whoop on us just because of our injuries on defense, or it's going to be an extremely close game like the playoff game. And I think the key to victory for us, if that happens, McDermott's got to save those timeouts for the last 2 minutes, because I have a feeling Baltimore is going to probably score. We're going to get the ball maybe with a minute 30, something to go. And if we don't have those timeouts to get us down the field, and or whatever you do with timeouts first half, whatever, but the second half, I think it's so important if McDermott, you know, because he gets a little nervous sometimes in the third quarter, I'll take an early timeout to reset the defense, reset the guys, but I really want to see him preserve those timeouts. I'd love your thoughts on that.
It's funny as you say that, like, welcome back to football season.
Yes.
The Kodaks are back, right? Like, where McDermott takes a timeout because he wants to get a look what the offense is going to do, call a defensive timeout, talk about it, and then go out there with a game plan.
Like, yeah, the little things that annoy some Bills fans along the way.
Yeah,
right.
Those are going to be back. You know, when you say, I feel like it's either going to be a Baltimore blowout or the Bills are going to win one close, or they're going to need this. What you're saying is the only thing you don't yourself, Larry, predict is the Ravens get blown out by the Bills, which I don't know. I expect a very competitive game. I expect to see Josh Allen at his best. I've started drafting Keon Coleman in lots of fantasy football drafts all over the place. I've been making a point to get some Keon Coleman because I think he's going to put up some good numbers this year with the Bills. It's just an aside for you if you want a little fantasy fade, fantasy find thought on that. But, I mean, saving timeouts, sure.
Also, they've not been blown out at home
since the
Jonathan Taylor, the Colts, or the Eagles.
Right. Okay, the Colts.
So, has it been five years since that happened?
And that involved, sure, the Jonathan Taylor game. It also involved a kickoff fumble where they scored right again before half. Like, whatever. I mean, blowouts are blowouts. It's how it works.
Yeah, November of 21, they lost 41-15. That's how long it's been since they got, like, beat at home. Like, beat down at home.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe. In the 6 a.m. club, Ed McGrogan of the Tennis Channel is going to join us on the other side. Jesse Pegula has a matchup in the semifinal tonight. He reached out and said, like, hey, just saying. You want to chat about it? And we love chatting with Ed from the Tennis Channel. So he's going to join us when we get back. And then, of course, plenty more on Bills Ravens. I also feel like the Jesse Pegula story is a little bit like the Bills, right? Really close, getting really close. And when do you finally break through? So I always find those comparisons for the Bills pretty much in everything I do. So just, it's the way that I am. Jeremy and Joe, give us a ring, 803-0550. Happy NFL season kickoff day on WGR.
I don't know. I feel like I'm just really comfortable, and it's crazy to look now and think that I'm really comfortable coming out here playing on big courts and big matches on the best court in the world and with the craziest crowd against the best players. It's pretty crazy, and it's something 10 years ago I never thought I'd be good at this, but I guess I am.
Jesse Pegula, that's a relatable comment, you know? 10 years ago, never thought I'd be good at this, and I guess I am. It's a pretty great way to say it. Senior editorial manager at the Tennis Channel and member of the 6 a.m. Club, which is guests that join us in the 6 o'clock hour. Ed McGrogan joins us on the Wester Hotline, covering the U.S. Open and tonight's semifinal between Jesse Pegula and Aryna Sabalenka. Ed, good morning. Thanks for once again joining us bright and early.
Guests that willingly join at the 6 yes. a.m. hour, too. Yeah, we're back. It's time. Yeah, not a bad hour, though. We're here for it.
We're back. When you say we're back, you mean for coverage in the U.S. Open, or you mean Bills Mafia? I mean, for Bills fans out there, you're a member of the Mafia here covering the U.S. Open, and I'm sure eager to watch Sunday night's game.
I mean, I was specifically referring to the 6 a.m. club, but okay. All that said, all the same, too. Yeah, no, I mean, we're ready for Sunday of two. We can talk about that later on. But, no, big few days in my world coming up, no doubt about it.
Yeah, so reading your piece, you have a piece that you posted or that you put up at the Tennis Channel website and tennis.com. You know, am I wrong, or have we done this before with Jesse Pegula's kind of arc and story? Am I wrong to kind of make connections to the Bills about getting to a spot, and it's a matter of when will you get past this one spot that you seem to get to? And, you know, not necessarily making it about whether or not you should have done it. With the Bills, we can very clearly kind of look at them and say, man, the resume's there. They probably should have done more by now. How does that relate to Jesse Pegula and the major championship search?
I think you had it right. That's a fair comparison. The main difference is last year she was 0-6 going into Grand Slam semifinals and got over that. So that was one obstacle that was cleared. The comp I would use this year and leading into tonight is who she's playing, and that's Aryna Sabalenka, the world number one. Now, the ultimate goal is the major title, but what's become the bigger issue is just Sabalenka. And as I go into the piece, this is her Mahomes. This is a principal rival. And the last three times they've played, they've all been in very big hardcore finals, which included last year's U.S. Open final. And it went Sabalenka's way, all in straight sets, no less. They were all competitive. Even last year's U.S. Open final, which I was at, that was 7-5, 7-5. But the big thing for her tonight is just to get off to a much better start. Like, it's paramount, I think. The matchup is 7-2 in Sabalenka's favor. But as we could go into, this is a bit of a surprise that Pegula has even gotten this far, considering where her year was, where her summer was. And that's what makes this pretty interesting to me, is it's kind of a house money thing with her, it feels like. And I get that from talking to her as well.
How was it so different this year?
So normally this is Pegula's bread and butter time after Wimbledon, and it really including Wimbledon. So you know, going into the start of this year, she actually had probably the best start of her career to a season. I would say won three different titles on three different surfaces going into the long clay court stretch that begins in April. And typically Pegula's MO was that she was extremely consistent at the majors, but would reach that sort of glass ceiling, like you would say. This year, what she's done at the majors is, aside from the U.S. Open, is really, really struggle. Only reached the fourth round at one major, and that was the French Open, which not is actually her worst surface on clay, and took a very, very surprising loss to a French player who was ranked outside the top 200, if I recall. Just kind of caught fire and just a surprising loss. And, you know, what ends up happening after that is She goes onto the grass, beats Iga Swiatek, who was actually eliminated last night at the U.S. Open at a grass court event, and promptly loses first round of Wimbledon. And from there, what ends up happening is, really, it's been a struggle for Pegula coming into the U.S. Open on her the events that she really does well at. She came into the tournament having won just two of her prior six matches, and I think expectations were pretty low, pretty modest for her. When I talked to her after her first round match, success to her was just defined as like, wasn't it defined as finally breaking through, winning the slam title, was just like dealing with the challenges, the ups and downs. And she's had more of those this summer than usual. But she's caught, you know, caught fire. She's benefited, I think, certainly from her draw, where she hasn't had to play the best of the best necessarily leading into this event. But she's taking care of everything in straight sets and comes into this with, I think, a really renewed mindset, and just, you know, I think more than anything, just an opportunity in her mind that she may not have thought she was going to get even, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
You called Sabalenka her Mahomes. They played today. That was the final matchup last year at the U.S. Open. Is there a specific problem that you think she has in that matchup?
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, this is the problem that most players have with Sabalenka. She's just, you know, the true power player in the women's game. And it took Sabalenka a long time to get, you know, to kind of refine what she brings to the table. I watched her very first title win up in New Haven, Connecticut, years ago. And it took a long time for Sabalenka to kind of just rein it in. But once she did and really fixed her serve, she became the player that she is today. For Jesse, I mean, it's really dealing with that artillery. Pegula, people who watch her know she is more naturally a counterpuncher, more naturally willing to kind of trade from the baseline. And she does need to get out of her comfort zone with a player like Sabalenka, probably more so than any other player. Her coaches, you know, often say that it's a match where she's going to need to take some risk more than she's, I think, perhaps even comfortable with. I think over time in this matchup specifically, I think Jesse is more apt to try and do that. I think, you know, I wrote in the piece on tennis.com that she is going to need to bring a different look to this. I think, you know, maybe if you want to extend that comparison to the Bills and what they'd want to do with KC, I mean, do they need to bring a different look defensively, if you will, to things? I mean, maybe that's the equivalent to what Jess has to do here. But I think the biggest thing tonight is, she has to get off to a fast start because playing catch up against Sabalenka is just a losing battle for her and amongst other, you know, amongst everybody really. But I'm looking forward to tonight because I want to see what she and her team have kind of concocted that can, you know, probably that can hopefully in her eyes throw Sabalenka off. Obviously, the crowd is going to be all in on her. There's two Americans playing in tonight's women's semis. Jesse's first up, so you know, you get that right away, first match. You're not waiting for a match to end for the kind of marquee to begin. They're both great matches tonight. The other one is Anissa Mova playing Osaka, but it should be a very good scene. So if you're waiting for football to come on, if you have not watched Jesse, you know, I think it's worth your time at 7 p.m. tonight.
One last question, Ed, you know, as you lay it all out for Jesse Pegula tonight in the U.S. Open semifinal, it sounds like, you know, you said house money kind of be, in your piece you read how some, maybe she's a little more relaxed right now and not as, as keyed up or as tense as maybe years past, but also the stakes are so high, you might have to change, you might have to be different. I wonder how, you know, really any athlete, how Jesse Pegula ultimately will kind of manage that, like play free, but also you might have to be different.
Yeah, I mean, it's like getting into that zone. You don't want to be tense with stuff. And you're right, this is an equivalent to all players and all situations here. I mean, mentally, she is a very, like, as a personality, as someone to talk to, she is kind of a, you know, she kind of, her mixed doubles partner, Jack Draper, says she's a real one. And I think that's a kind of an attribute to just kind of how she goes about things, like, can she be sort of too low in a way sometimes? I've sensed that. Can the moment – I don't think the moment can get to her at this point, because the one You know, the one exception that we talked about is she has been to a Grand Slam final before. It's not as if this is her first semifinal she's ever played in a major. So that is one thing kind of in her pocket that you know, what could end up happening is, okay, somehow you get by Sabalenka tonight. Okay, now, like, you've got to win. Like, you're here.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, do the Bills finally beat the Chiefs and, like, oh, we have this NFC Titan to deal with at the end of the road here, too. So I think that's one thing that's a water, you know, we'll get to that if it happens. But, ultimately, Sabalenka is, I think, still a decided favorite tonight. It would be a surprise, honestly, if Pegula wins this one. But I also, when players get back to these situations time and time again, I mean, ultimately they're asked to do things that, you know, they realize the chance they have here. And I think Jess ultimately does that as well.
Ed McGrogan of the Tennis Channel, senior editorial manager at Tennis Channel and Tennis.com. And member of the 6 o'clock club, the 6 a.m. hour club. Ed, thanks again, as always, and we will be watching tonight. Thank you.
Talk soon, guys. Go Bills.
Go Bills. All right. 803-0550. Sal coming up at 8 o'clock. Our fantastic four-way parlay in the 9 o'clock hour. It's football season. There's football tonight. Very exciting. On the injuries for the Bills, we'll get into that a little bit more in the 7 o'clock hour. Some troubling injury potential for this Baltimore game. And I have a question on Twitter. What you're most eager to see, get some of those answers. What are you most eager to see Sunday night against Baltimore in the opener? Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeremy and Sneaky Joe, excuse me, good morning. So last night we had our wide receiver fantasy league draft of all receivers. 120 receivers were drafted in this draft. Me, Joe, Josh, Owen, a couple other guys here from the station, a couple listeners. Just a silly little league where we're going to give Owen like $10. We haven't decided the buy-in, but we have teams of seven starting receivers. We start seven receivers, three on the bench. And as the thing is going along, Joe, I'm thinking about my strategy.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what would not be a bad idea? Because, you know, you'd like to have Jamar Chase, right? Okay.
Yeah.
It would not be a bad idea to have both receivers on a team that stink. I have both Saints receivers. Or have maybe both.
On the same team, because you have both.
Garbage time.
Yeah.
You're trying to pile up. Oh, it's garbage time, and the Titans are down by 14. I'm getting every point from here on out that goes to receivers and nobody else is. So it's kind of fun to think about the strategy of a only wide receiver fantasy league.
How many yards you're going to get from Spencer Rattler, though, in total?
That's garbage time. That's right. That's right. But if you're not, what's a better plan at garbage time? There's a minute left in a game. You know, you might have Ja'Marr Chase. He might be on the bench if they're winning.
How many yards you got him throwing for this year?
Rattler?
Yeah.
3,200. Not many.
You have two receivers and it's 30. I would take that right now from him.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Again, these are late picks. It wasn't the first round pick. I'm going with Rashid Shaheed. Trust me.
Yeah.
803-0550. The McDermott conversation is ongoing at ProFootballTalk.com. They're asking the big question about McDermott. We'll play a little bit of that through the show. Sal at 8, NFL opening night tonight. Eagles and Cowboys here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.